read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." And Peter said to him in reply, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more, will inherit eternal life. Then many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. I think it's very important we celebrate the feast day of a pope that is canonized, that we ask that pope to pray for the church today. So I invite you to do that. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Pope Pius X. Very, very important figure in the church. He died in 1913, right as the First World War was breaking out, which basically, they say, broke his heart. And he died a few days after the First World War started. He was, few details in his life. Came from a very poor family. His mother was a seamstress, his father was a parish clerk. His father died when he was young. Then he walked to church, walked to school when he was 11 years old, 5 miles to school and 5 miles back. How many 11-year-old children will walk 10 miles? Now, that's almost unthinkable, no? And then when his father died, he was already in the seminary, and his mother, very good mother, had 10 children. He decided to give up the seminary to go back to watch over his 8 younger siblings. And his mother said, "Stay in the seminary." So if it were not for his mother, he would have never been ordained a priest. And she said, basically, you know, I'll manage, no? She really believed that he was called to be a priest, and she was going to do all she possibly could for him to arrive at the day of the ordination. So he was ordained a priest and spent 17 years in the parish, and then he ascended, and then to his shock, in the year 1903, he was elected pope. That was the last thing he expected and the last thing he wanted. But because of him, many, many reforms he made in just a few years as a pope. First is this. How many of you made your first communion before you were 10? That's because of this Pope. That's because of this Pope. He had a great love for the Eucharist, and he really believed that there's no reason why children cannot receive First Holy Communion. So we believe that a child could receive communion at 7 years old, which now we have in the parish. Children come in at 6, and they can receive it at 7 or 8 years old. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." So he's instrumental in early communion and frequent communion. Because back 100 years ago, people would receive communion twice a year. Easter and Christmas, that was it. You people receive communion every day, right? Thanks to Pius X. John Bosco was already in this line, you know, even before him. But once a pope officially promotes it, that's where you got a lot of power. Okay, next. It's 100 years ago. As a rule, Catholics did not read the Bible. They would read the lives of the saints, and they would just listen to the homily of the priests, and they'd make their confession, but very few Catholics would read the Bible, even 50 years ago. What did he do? He promoted reading the Bible among Catholics. And he set up an institute of Bible studies, and he wrote a beautiful document on the Bible. And in the second reading today in the Liturgy Hours, he's got a beautiful writing of this Pope on the beauty of the Psalms, praying the Psalms, which is the prayer book of the Church. So what else did he do? Many reforms. But the liturgical reform, he was very keen on trying to reform the Mass. So the liturgy was reformed because of Pope Pius X. Also, he had a great love for the poor, the immigrants, and the refugees. Now, this is very much part of the Oblate Charism, is that he wrote an encyclical called Pascendi, or the Syllabus of Errors, in which he actually wrote, this is 100 years ago, about 75 of the most common errors, theological errors within the Church. And this is about 100 years ago. Obviously, we could double that today, okay? Maybe triple it today. Part of the charism of the Oblates is to try to point out the heresies or errors within the Church and to preach against them. So he was already aware that within the Church, heresies and errors were infiltrating the Church. So he wrote a very clear document to defend Church orthodoxy. So this is St. Pope Pius X. And once he heard that the First World War that he tried to prevent using all his means possible, tried to prevent the war from breaking out, it broke out within a few days, he died. Some say he died of a heart, his heart was broken, because he knew that as a result of this, there was going to be millions of people that were going to be killed, which happened. This is the First World War. So I'd like to conclude with three things that we can glean from this great man. His great love for the Eucharist, which all of you have. His great love for the Word of God. I hope you have that. That's part of my spiritual exercises program, to get you to meditate upon the Word of God. But also his great love for the truth. The truth. We have to follow the truth. I think that the biggest heresy today is, can I give you my opinion? The dictatorship of moral relativism. I think that that's the biggest heresy within the world today. Moral relativism, you know what that means? When I was studying, it was called situation ethics. There's no such thing as an absolute truth, but rather you are the ultimate source of the truth. Basically, you're saying you are God. That, I believe, is the biggest heresy today. As many people, they pick and choose what they believe to be the truth. Scott Hahn calls it cafeteria Catholicism. You pick and choose what your moral taste buds like. Can't do that. So let's pray to this great Pope. He was the first Pope that was canonized in his time since St. Pope Pius V. So about 300 years had passed which a Pope was not canonized. Let's pray that he will pray for the Church. We're going through tough times, okay? The bark of Peter is being smattered and it's being crashed with waves. My friends, don't jump out of the boat, otherwise you'll drown. Stay inside the boat. And the best thing we can do to help out the Church is every one of you have to become a great saint. Amen? Amen. That's the only solution, is all of us have to work on our own personal sanctification. St. Pope Pius X, pray for us. Amen.